Well, I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 15, and I'm looking around. This whole, we forgot in the email to tell people to set their clocks backward or forward, whatever it is. I always get it messed up, and anymore, it wouldn't have mattered because, you know, if you have a smartphone, it automatically does it for you and that sort of thing, but there might be just a few people who just come ambling in towards the end of the service, pray for them, smile, scoot over, give them a seat. It's all good. Well, I'm having a crazy thing. I think my body just finally gave up, got worn out after traveling all over the place. And so I've been battling some weird cold sickness stuff. And so probably a lot of times I'd had somebody fill in. But man, I said, I've been gone for so long. I miss my people. So I got to hang out. But I'm not going to be hanging out in the back just because I don't want you to have to mess with what I've been messing with the last little bit. But I do have a message I feel like God's given me as we continue this series about laying this foundation, being built from the ground up, and we've been looking at what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, talking about how God changes us and transforms us. And I've got a question for you that I want us to entertain for the next few minutes as we jump into this message. First question is this: do not answer out loud. First service, I think somebody tried to answer this out loud. Don't answer out loud. What would you attempt for Jesus if you knew you wouldn't fail? Just think about that. What would I attempt for Jesus if I knew I wouldn't fail? Now, let me ask a second question that I think it just ties in with that first question. What, perhaps, are you not doing for Jesus because you're afraid you're going to fail? And the reason why I'm asking this, I want to be very clear that as I jump in to this message, this is not a message that is about, hey, let's shame people into just trying things, or even that the purpose of this message is not to inspire you to go do something where God has nothing to do with it. You just think the pastor wants you to. It has nothing to do with this whatsoever. Who I do want to talk to, though, this morning is the person who God's been stirring you. Maybe he wants to take you deeper. Maybe he's calling you to take that next step with him. And because of whatever it is, you're fearful. You're afraid that maybe some way, somehow, you're going to fail. That you're going to let down God, that you're going to disappoint other people. And maybe you have such a fear of failure that you almost feel like over the last little bit, you've been immobilized. I don't know who I'm talking to. I just think that all of us at different times find ourselves here. I know I have. Because a lot of times when God calls us to something, he's going to call us out of our comfort zones. And the reality is this, man, we all have comfort zones. And man, the older I get, the more pronounced those comfort zones are. And I'm finding out I don't like getting out of my comfort zone. And there are times that I think we can, I don't think that we're doing this intensely, but I think that there are times that we can resist the work that God wants to do in us, because we're afraid that we're not enough. And so I want us to look at what Scripture says here in John chapter 15. And I want us to understand that, man, this life that God is calling us to, and I want to say this, I don't say this flippantly or anything, but know this, the fact that God has saved you, it's not just about you. And that's a weird thing, because a lot of times when we think of salvation, especially, man, in the last couple hundred years, we've really emphasized this personal relationship with Jesus, and thank God for a personal relationship with Jesus. But almost we've gone to this place that it's just me and Jesus, and you know, I've been saved to become a better version of myself, and that's just not the case. God wants to save you not so he can actually dress you up and make you a trophy for heaven's trophy case. Literally, he wants to use you. Even before we get to heaven, he wants to change us and he wants to use us. And just as so many people have been part of, God has used many people to be part of your story. He wants to use us to be part of a story, to be part of what he's doing, man. And so I want to talk about this for the next little bit as we jump in. And so what I love is here in the first five verses of John 15, Jesus is talking, he's talking to his disciples. In fact, just to give you a little context here, if you go John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, these five chapters contain Jesus' last words to his disciples. Before he goes to the cross, they're in the upper room. You know, we think of the upper room being primarily about, you know, the Last Supper, which it was that. But it, man, John, as a person who was there, he gives us a lot of, man, just background context on what Jesus was talking about, what was important to Christ as he was talking here. John 15, in particular, somebody said that if you take those five chapters and you just summarize everything in those five chapters, you put them in one chapter, it's the one there in the middle. It's John 15. And here's what Jesus says to his disciples, and here's what I want us to do for the next few minutes. I want us to put ourselves in the room, and I want, man, if you're following Christ, if you've been saved, listen, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so just as Jesus was talking to his disciples before he went to the cross, I want you to put yourself in the room and just think as if Jesus is saying these words to this group that are here in this room right now. Here's what he said. I am the true vine, and my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Man, I like this. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. If you don't have this underlying, you need to have this underlying. He says, for apart from me, you can do a few things. No. For apart from me, listen to this. You can do nothing. Now listen, I want to talk to those of you that for whatever reason are just... You're wrestling with this thing, man. You want to follow Jesus. You want to be all in. But for some reason, man, you're going through this season where what he's calling you to do, who he's calling you to be, what he's calling you to leave, it is so far out of your comfort zone that you're just resistant. Man, I'm just praying that you will listen to what God has to say today and that somehow he'll challenge us because what God calls us to is much better than whatever comfort zone you and I want to stay in. So the three characters here that we see, first of all, Jesus introduces to the vine. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to get back into John 15. But we have the vine. This is Jesus. He produces fruit. He says, I'm the true vine. Now, the reason why he said I'm the true vine is because if you go through the Old Testament, God's people, Israel, are referred to time and time again, especially by the major prophets. They're referred to as the vine. Now, what Jesus is saying when he says, I'm the true vine, he wants them to understand that listen, you aren't the true vine. I'm the true vine. Apart from me, you don't have anything. And so he gives us that, you know, I'm the vine. Then he says that there's a vine dresser. This is God the Father. He's the one who cultivates the branches. We're going to get into that here in just a minute. And then he introduces, you know, the third character. It's you and me. It's the branches. The branches that apart from the vine, you know, they're just dead. I mean, we're just a branch. By themselves, branches can't do anything. Like I was just noticing yesterday, we've got different flowering pear trees. We got a cherry tree, a few other things in our yard. And I was noticing one of our trees is just getting out of control. And I'm gonna have to do some trimming because it's actually looking kind of ragged. I'm gonna have to cut some branches off. Well, when I cut those branches off, like, I don't just, you know, take that branch like, oh man, let's go put this in the house somewhere. This thing is really gonna do well and it's gonna grow and there's gonna be fruit. No, I'm throwing it in the trash because it just became a dead branch. It's going to die. Branches are useless. And what you see, branches, you know, a branch is either good for bearing fruit or being thrown away. I want us to understand something, though, as we dive into this. Okay, like I'm talking to somebody. You're like, man, I just don't think I can do this. What you're calling me to, it's beyond my comfort zone. I don't think I've got this. Now, listen, a branch, first of all, is not created to be the vine. You and I are branches. Branches aren't able to just, apart from the vine, bear fruit. And a branch is not the only one that God's going to use to accomplish his purposes. Because I think there's a lot of times we put all this pressure on ourselves. I'm going to fail. I'm going to blow it. I'm going to lose. You know, it's going to be terrible. No. What does a branch do? Well, what Jesus says, a green, healthy branch simply abides in the vine. So there are a few things I just want us to grasp this morning. And the first one is this. Okay, like nobody's gonna gasp when I say this, okay? Abiding in Christ is the not so secret secret to spiritual fruitfulness. Told you, nobody went, like literally, this abiding in Christ, it is the only way you and I can actually do what we're called to. So let's real quick, let's break down, what does it mean to abide? To abide means to continue, to remain, to dwell. It means to stay. It's this idea of a life-giving connection with Christ that produces his character, that accomplishes his will in us. But it also means this abiding. It means to be held. It means to be kept continually. Man, that's a beautiful thought, you know, if you think about this. Not just to, I've got to hold on to, but it's this idea of being held on to, of being kept. Now, there are some characteristics of abiding that I would just hit real quick. First of all, the branch that abides, and I'm going to come back and hit this, but let me just hit it briefly, and then we'll double down here in just a second. It's a branch that endures the pain of transformation. It's a branch that endures the pain of transformation. It's also, the abiding branch is one that's feeding on the word, feeding on the vine. In fact, if you keep reading, John says in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it'll be done for you. And so, you know, this characteristic of this branch that abides, when the word abides in us, it means that this word finds a home. It's not foreign. It belongs. You move other things around. You even get rid of some of the things so that the word has room. I just put it this way. It feels at home. This whole, the word abide is the same word that is used, that Jesus used just a few minutes before. If you go back to John 14, I think it's verse 17, where he said, I think Pastor Matt hit this last week. He said, it's good for you that I go away, because if I go away, then the Father's going to give you the Holy Spirit who will come. And he said, he's going to dwell with us. That word used for dwell, the Holy Spirit, dwelling, putting down roots, it's the same word as abide. And this abiding is not a passive thing. It's an active thing, but it's just relying, you know, it's just relying on the vine for fruit. And that's really what the branch does. So when I think of this whole idea, we're the green branch. You're like, oh man, God, I don't know if you can use me. You're calling me this. And that makes me nervous and I think I'm going to fail. God, hold on. I mean, we're going to plant, we're going to water, but it's God who's going to give the increase. And we got to trust God to do this, because a lot of times we're after results. But fruit, it takes time. And several years ago, like Cass, my daughter, she's sophomore in college now, so this would have been years ago. I think she's in first grade. They gave her a project to do at home, and it was to raise a plant, which honestly, she's a Wagner, which is a terrible thing. We have pretty much black thumbs when it comes to raising things. I can kill grass. I can kill about anything. But they gave her a seed and this little jar thing, this plastic jar thing to put it in, potting soil. And they said, you know, just we want you to do this experiment. You're going to raise this plant. So she's excited, comes home, tells us what she's doing. And so she puts the seed, gets the potting soil, puts it in there. And so we're telling her, okay, you know, you want to water this, make sure it's getting sunlight and all of that, you know, and man, you're going to see God do a miracle. This thing's going to grow. And so we were kind of excited, like maybe she's going to be the one to be the horticulturalist out of the family. We didn't know. And so I'd come down and I'd notice like she does this, she put it in the windowsill by the back where we get a lot of sun. But I mean, I'd come down like, and we're talking like 7-8 days, like there's nothing. Like 2 weeks, nothing. I'm like, what is going on? Like, I mean, she definitely has the Wagner gene, but what is going on? Surely there's something that's wrong. And finally, about 3 weeks into this, I came downstairs and I figured out what was going on, why there was no life. Cassidy had the seed in her between her fingers going like this. She's like, Dad, I keep picking it up every day and there's nothing growing on it. I'm like, Cass, you got to let it go. You got to let it grow. Because growth takes time. But I think there's a lot of times that you know, we find ourselves here, like we get frustrated because it's not going as fast as we want to. Here's the deal. We want results because they're faster, but the word results is nowhere in Scripture. It talks about fruit. Fruit takes time and cultivation. It isn't produced overnight. And there's all kinds of spiritual fruit that we see of in Scripture. Romans 6 says that as we grow in holiness and obedience, we're bearing fruit. Galatians 5:22 through 23 introduces us to the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul makes sure that we understand that this is the fruit that comes by walking by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. But he talks about that this is a spiritual fruit that changes character. But then we see, there's another type of fruit, and it's these works, these good works that we looked at in our last series that follow this character transformation. So we have this transformation which changes our motivation. Our motivation changes how we live, and there's this fruit that comes. But this fruit that comes is actually to the glory of God. But I want you to understand something. Like there are a lot of things that can be counterfeited by the flesh, but this deception will eventually be detected, because I want you to catch this. Real spiritual fruit has within it the seeds for more fruit. Real spiritual fruit has within it the seeds for more fruit. Like I've said for a lot of time, like if we think that a healthy church is all about drawing a crowd, well, I don't think that's a very good standard. Like we could have a circus in here and draw a crowd. You know what I'm saying? If that's what it means to be a healthy church, that's not at all what it is. No, this a healthy church comes from healthy people who make up the church, who are being transformed, and God is at work within us. It's true fruit, it's not results. And this is why Jesus is saying, man, abide in me, dwell in me, remain in me, put down roots in me, the not so secret for spiritual fruitfulness is simply abiding in Christ. But here's the second thing I want you to grasp that I think is so important. For those of you that just wrestle with this and you're like, man, I can't do this. And you know, this is way too big, God. I can't do this. Listen to me. If you are in Christ, if you're abiding in Christ, the DNA for spiritual fruit's already in you. It's already in you. We've been given the Spirit. This is why, again, verse 5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. This is good news. I can't do it. No, you can't. I'll agree with you if you're talking about just yourself. But if you are abiding in Christ and Christ has called you to it, he'll get you through it and he's going to produce the fruit. There is nothing worse than feeling like, man, I just can't do this. How many of you have been in a room and you've asked yourself, what am I doing in this room? You know, you look around like, what am I doing here? That has happened to me so many times where I'm like, it's almost intimidating. Like, what am I doing here? But the reality is, God puts you in the rooms he wants you to be in. And if he's called you there, listen, he's already in the work of preparing you for what you're going to do in that room. And this brings us to the third point that is not the fun part, I'll be honest with you, but I think it's very, very important. It has to do, again, with the vine dresser. To get us and to make us more fruitful, we gotta grasp this. God's discipline is the means by which he'll do this. God's discipline is the means by which he's gonna make you and I more fruitful. Now, I remember when Trey, my oldest son, was, he's probably 10 or 11, something like that. And he went through that season where he just started to grow like crazy. And we went through so much milk in one summer. I can't remember what year it was. But, he was chugging milk. And he was always complaining, my knees hurt, my knees hurt, my knees hurt. And in fact, I'd had growing pains before, but I'm like, is there something going on? We took him to doctor and all that. Is there something, like every time he'd run, he was hurting. But they just came back. They said, what you're experiencing is growing pains. And one doctor actually told him, said, in about 2 or 3 years, you're gonna be really happy that you're having this pain. They said, if you didn't go through this, you're gonna stay the same. And he was like, do you want to stay this tall? And Trey's like, no, I don't. And so, but he went through this season where his knees were killing him. They were hurting. But he had to go through the season of stretching. He had to go through a season of pain so that he could see physical growth. Here's the reality. God will take us to places and he will cut on us, not because he wants to hurt us or damage us. He's doing this to prepare us. The vine dresser prunes his branches. And to those of you who today, you might be going through a time of pruning, let me just say this. Don't confuse the pruning of God with the work of the devil. Okay? What you might view as hardship and pain could very well be God preparing you for a fruitful harvest. Now, when I was a kid, I did not like discipline. Getting in trouble. Didn't like that. My dad believed in good old spanking. And we go, if I did something stupid, which apparently happened quite a bit, he said, okay, come on in. We get in there. And he's like, I just want you to know this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. And I'm like, I don't think so. We can switch places. I never said that, but I thought it. He'd always want to pray with me after we were done. I did not want to pray. But I look back on those times now. In the moment, it's like, yeah, this is terrible. But no, he wasn't disciplining me in anger. That's abuse. He literally was disciplining me for my good. And now I can see the fruit of this. In fact, the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12, I don't have time to get into this, but write in your notes, Hebrews chapter 12. There's this whole section on discipline. It says that God disciplines the son that he loves. In fact, he says, a father does, if you haven't been disciplined by your earthly father, it's like you didn't even have a father. But if they care for their kids, they're going to discipline them. And I look back over my life and God's preparation for that next season. so many times has been God disciplining me. And I don't have time to, I've got a million stories to share here where God disciplined me for my self-righteousness. I didn't think I was self-righteous. He's continued to show me that that's a struggle. God has disciplined me for being a people pleaser. God has disciplined me for, man, this drive I have to achieve. I'm so competitive. I want to go for it. Man, there have been times where God has humbled. And again, when I look at this, this has never been about God damaging me. I was damaged when I came to God. Man, God loves his damaged branches. And what he does is he cuts and he prunes, not to harm us or to hurt us, but to make us who only he can make us to be. He wants us to bear fruit because that's what you and I are intended for. This is what Jesus says in verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. And what does he say? And so prove to be my disciples. Jesus doubles down on this in verse 16 when he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Let me give you my big point, and then I'm gonna give you some application before we wrap this up. Listen, when we are fruitful, because that's what we're intended for, when we are fruitful, God gets the glory and we get assurance. Does it make sense? When we are fruitful, God gets the glory. We don't get the glory. God gets the glory. I remember I shared this with, we had several people at our Meet the Pastors dinner Tuesday. I had a buddy of mine, long haul truck driver from Indiana. He was out here. We hadn't seen each other for years. We went to school together. And at the end of the service, I got done preaching, I walked out, and he was just kind of shaking his head. I'm like, hey, what's going on, John? He's like, I'm gonna tell you right now, Keith, you are the last person I ever thought would be a preacher. I'm like, yeah, right? Like, I get that. Like, and I thought back, that like, God gets the glory, not this guy. It's God who has worked, God who's working in you. Many of you have similar stories to tell. God gets the glory, but we, man, you and I, we get confidence because he's working in us. There are times that our assurance is damaged. Our assurance is damaged. Maybe Satan is fighting. Our assurance is damaged. Maybe because we're resisting God. Some of you right now don't have assurance because God's been calling you to something and you've been resisting him. But man, when we just let God do what he's gonna do, we remember that Christ is the vine, that we're the branches, we get the confidence. It's a beautiful thing. You know, the bad thing about coughing is this thing's gonna pick up everything, you get it? So what part do we play in this whole thing? What part do we play when it comes to, what's our role in being fruitful? Well, it's honestly pretty simple. First of all, acknowledge our helplessness apart from Christ. Sometimes we just gotta admit the truth that Paul hit in Romans 7, you remember verse 16, where he says, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what's right, I don't have the ability to carry it out. Can we just agree with that? Anybody like, oh no, I totally disagree with that. No, it starts here by just humbly admitting, I don't have what it takes. And acknowledging that if Christ has called me to it, I'm gonna have to radically depend on him. The second thing is this. I think we should pray for the Holy Spirit to transform us. It's promised in Ezekiel 36:27 that God will put his spirit within us, that he'll cause us to walk in his ways. Why don't we just pray that we know that we're praying according to the will of God when we pray what's in scripture. Jesus said in Luke 11:13, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Why don't we just pray for this? And then the third thing I think we just have to do is we have to agree with Jesus that he chose you and I to bear fruit. So, listen, again, I'm not trying to dog anybody into doing anything that God's not calling you to do. I want to encourage those of you, though, that have been doing this battle with Jesus. He's calling you to a next step, and you're doing this battle. You're resistant to this. Listen, you got to get out of your comfort zone. Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you that you should bear fruit. We just need to agree with Jesus that what scripture says is actually true. And then I would just say this, don't fight God's discipline. Just don't fight it. And part of that might be, I say this often, but I think the reason I feel like I need to say this is because I've struggled sometimes with this. I want to make sure people don't struggle with the same thing I've struggled with. And that is confusing condemnation with conviction. Condemnation is Satan saying, because of who you were, because of what you did, that's who you're always going to be. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, will convict us of sin, righteousness, and the judgment. The Holy Spirit, condemnation leaves you in the past. Conviction says, I'm pointing you to a future. Amen. Which means that when you and I are being disciplined, it is for our good. Hebrews, going back to Hebrews 12 again. Man, it's to produce this fruit, this peaceful fruit of righteousness. And then I would just say this in closing. We thank God for any fruit the Holy Spirit is producing, even if we're not where we think we ought to be. You know, I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is doing something that I can't do for myself. I'm thankful that he's at work. I'm being changed. Fruit is being produced. It's not me. It's not natural. It's the Spirit. That means our focus should not be on results. You know what our focus should be on? Abiding in Christ. It's saying yes and walking. I'm a branch. You're a branch. Jesus is the vine. You know what Jesus said? He said, you will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. No, he didn't say you. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, which means that when you hear those words, you're gonna fail, you're gonna blow it, you're gonna let down your family, you're gonna let down your church, you're gonna let down yourself, you're gonna fail. God, listen to me. God wants even your fears, he wants you to surrender all you have and follow him. Because here's the good news. His church is gonna move forward. The Apostle Peter died, but the church didn't. The Apostle Paul died, but the church didn't. Martin Luther died, but the church didn't. John Calvin, John Wesley, George Whitefield died, the church didn't. Billy Graham died, the church didn't. If Jesus doesn't come back right away, you and I are going to die, but the church won't. Here's the good news though, before you and I go to heaven, we get the opportunity to be part of what God is doing here on earth. He has not saved you for yourself. He saved you to be transformed, to be used, to be part of his kingdom purposes. And so this morning as we close, I'm gonna ask you if you would to stand. I'm gonna have a very interesting invitation to close out our service. I wanna give an invitation to branches. I mean, not like physical branch, where we've been. And today, what I wanna do to close out our service is this. If you feel as if God has been stirring your heart even recently. Maybe you don't even have clarity on what it is, but right now you've just been in this wrestling period of life. You don't know what that means. Man, I want you to just close the service. Even after everybody leaves, I want you to come to the front. Man, let's pray together. But I want you to acknowledge today, God, I'm on your hands. Today, if he's stirring you and you've been fighting this, my invitation is this, just to admit who you are and acknowledge who he is. I said, God, I'm on your hands. Use me. If this is you, I just want you to step out and come to the front. If this is you, you're like, man, I've been wrestling with this. I want God to use me. I want God to use me. You just step out, okay? I'm gonna give just a couple minutes here, or a couple, not maybe, that's a little long. But if this is you, just come on down. We'll also have prayer team here. We got people coming forward. That's right. Just come on down. Come on down. Use me, God. Use me, God. I want to get rid of those voices. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. It's not about us. It's about him. Just keep coming forward. I'm going to pray, Father. I want to thank you for what you're doing. I want to thank you for the good work that you're doing in our lives. Dear God, I want to thank you that you don't save us just to make us this really sanctimonious, beautiful version of ourselves. That's not the point of this. God, you transform us. You give us a mission. You give us a purpose. In fact, God, what you say in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 is such a powerful thing. We were created long before this world was ever put in motion. Dear God, we were chosen, dear God, to do these good works you've called us to. And God, at the end of the day, it's not about us. But what we're doing this morning is we're surrendering to you. We're giving our lives to you. Would you take us, use us? And so, Father, for what you're going to do over the next few minutes as we pray together, I want to thank you for this. I'm thankful, God, that it's not about me. I'm thankful that it's not about us. Lord, thank you that we have this incredible privilege of being attached to the vine, that we're given a life and a power that is not ours, that you can use us for your kingdom purposes. And God, for what you're going to continue to do this morning, we say thank you, and we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Man, make sure you stop by, see our friends at Indian Bible College. Man, if you want to just stay up here for more prayer, just hang out. We'll talk. We'll pray together. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next week.